And there we are. Welcome to the front row seat. Today, I am going to bring to you something very different and surprising. There was an idea that was posted to me by a friend of mine. And he said, hey, Cheryl, what you should do is a group podcast, get a group of you together, and then do like just a podcast with all of you in there at the same time. And I thought about it. It's like, I don't know if this is going to work. How are we going to, you know, interact and talk and not, you know, step on each other's toes and all that? So we gave it a whirl. We gave it a try. So last Monday, we recorded this podcast that turned out really, really good. And I hope y'all all enjoy it. So I picked to come on to the first group podcast, Saul Luckman, Shiva Shampoo, Pamela Swan, and me. So it was the four of us. It ended up really interesting, and we had a lot of interesting things that came out of it, and we had a lot of fun, and I think you will have a lot of fun watching it. So first we have Shiva. He's a popular online personality who goes by the name Shiva Shampoo. He is a moderator for Archaics, Crow Rising, and Flat Earth British. He performed as a lead actor in 130 episodes of a television soap opera, all the while not owning a television himself. Shiva is a singer, a musician, a poet, a philosopher, and consciousness explorer. He is an errant at heart and has touched many with his kindness and humor. And then we have Pamela Swan. Pamela Swan is also an online personality. She moderates for many channels, including Archaics and Flat Earth British. She is profoundly positive and brings laughter and love wherever she goes. I met Pamela in person at the Archaics meetup in April. I was instantly struck by this beautiful energy she embodies. So I asked her to be here with us today so she can share with you all of her amazing vibes. Pamela is highly intuitive, and during this podcast, her special abilities was captured in action. Pamela is a Reiki and healing practitioner and friend to many. And what I found very interesting is Pamela Swan, as she was trying to get into the podcast, there was a little bit of AIX action. So AIX, she got her audio got AIX. It was not happening. So she was there, but she could not hear us. And something really interesting came out of that. She couldn't hear us, but as we were dialoguing, talking in the podcast, she was in the chat up in the corner. So she was putting her thoughts in there. And there was not once, but twice, she psychically tuned in to where we were at consciously and picked up on the vibration of what was going on in the podcast and then commented on it. She commented on the topic that we were talking about. So, oh, and last but not least, we have Saul Luckman. Saul is a very prolific, genius artist, and he has so many things that he's done. He's an author, he's a painter, he's a poet, he's a philosopher, and he is also a conscious researcher. He also has a background in shamanism and spirituality. And he's also developed some healing modality called regenetics, which has helped thousands of people. He has done so much work. I have attached all that into the description box below. So here we are. We are 3.5 errants because Pamela is there in spirit, but not in any other form. So I want to welcome you to this crazy podcast. This is a wayward journey into the shifting compositions of reality. And it's a wild ride. So buckle in and hang on to your hats. So here we are, 3 and a half errants with shenanigans. Enjoy.
Oh, God.
Okay, here we go. Here we are. 3 and a half errants, and Shiva's still laughing. Well, here we are, 3 and a half errants, and we are here to talk about it. We've got some concepts that we want to talk about today, and we thought it would be interesting if we all showed up at the same time to see if we could figure out how to do this. So this is an experiment, so bear with us and enjoy. Thank you so much. And we have Saul Luckman, Shiva Shampoo, and Pamela Swan. She's the half. She is here in spirit. The rest of her we can't find, but we're going to do this. So one of the concepts that I thought would be really fun to talk around is about the second summer of errant love, this uprising of energies that we're feeling, and how the energies are like coming together, and it's almost like it's bringing people together to start cooperating so we can share information. So I'll just talk to Dr. Snake, and they were talking about, or was it Dr. Voodoo, Saul?
Dr. Snake.
Dr. Snake, I had it right. So I was talking to Dr. Snake about this concept, and my interest was really piqued, because for the last 4 or 5 months, I've been kind of rolling around this thing, and I had the meetup going on. I knew I could feel something going on, but I had no idea what it was, and I think y'all solved the riddle. So what is it, Saul? What's the riddle?
Well, it was Dr. Snake who suggested this concept, that he wanted to see these, our various truther communities. I always hate that word. I don't have a better word for it. But these communities, seekers, wanderers, errants, he would love to see this coalesce into something like what he experienced back maybe in the early 90s, when there was a lot of energy of change happening. There was a musical scene that was going on. A big change was happening in various places. And there was a lot of positivity, while there was also a lot of energy and creativity. It wasn't just all, roses and desserts. It was grunge. It was intense stuff going on. And yet there was some sort of a hopefulness. And I remember that too. And he was saying that he would love to see another summer of love, for us to enter another phase with the various online seeking communities coming together and creating different moments, festivals, meetups, conventions, whatever. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Go ahead.
I said, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, in that, when I've been, looking around at what's been going on around me, it's almost like I've just had this drive to do this thing, then it ended up being the meetup for Archaix and Jason. And then, it was, what would be fun? I bet that Jason and Martin have a lot in common and they should do a podcast together, right? So I kind of introduced them together, and then the podcast had this really interesting chemistry in it. And then I felt the vibe of that. I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's something here. And then after the podcast, both of them were like, wow, that was really fun. So it's almost like it's a cooperative of a bunch of people coming together. It's not just one or two people going to a meetup and hanging out. And if you notice after the 19, during the early 60s, when all that stuff was going on in Summer of Love, they're just coming out of the whole Vietnam War. They've just been through a lot of trauma. And I think this is just like something that consciousness does. After we go through a learning phase, which is what I think it is, then all of a sudden there's this upwelling. Remember how beautiful the music got in the 1970s? And it was like it starts these movements, and then you just get on it and it's like surfing on a wave, And I think that's what's happening now after everything we've been through the last 3 years.
I like that. I really like that. I would love to hear Shiva's thoughts, and I had some thoughts too.
What do you think, Shiva?
Yeah, I definitely think, I've noticed a definite change during the last 3 years. People were pretty traumatized, and there were, like, you always have doomsayers, you have people saying, oh no, now it's going to slide down into oblivion from here, and they're going to do this to us and this to us. And it has just kind of faded away, not completely, right? There's still people that are always going to be in the grip of fear, but it's just kind of faded away. And people are just tired of feeling, you know, downtrodden and feeling oppressed, and they just want to just breathe easier. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be more difficulty, because we all know that there's always going to be some curveballs and weirdness and difficulty around the corner, right? Especially once you get settled in and you're like, now this good vibe is going to last forever. And for you, the good vibe could last forever, but it doesn't mean that the people around you, like all the rest of the people, are going to be on this wave. You know, there's like in an ocean, right? You can surf the wave. One place is great for surfing, but over there's not much happening, right? So it's not like everybody in the ocean is going to be on the same wave, right? You have to sort of position yourself in the right place to be in that wave, right? Which is good. But you know, it's up to us, right? To actually say, I feel this wave. I see this wave. I'm going to walk over here. I'm going to put my surfboard over here. And then you can ride it. And I definitely think things are going to be excellent for those of us that are, you know, willing to go and surf that wave and go in the right direction and put in a little effort to be in the right place at the right time, you know. And I don't just mean geographical place. I mean in your mind, in your spirit. Right place, the right time. Yes, I definitely feel a good things on the horizon. Good things happening right now.
You know the Soundgarden song, My Wave? It's Chris Cornell singing it. It's just this amazing song. I think it's titled My Wave. You just made me think about it. And I had mentioned grunge earlier. So there's a theme for me personally. And maybe I'm just in my little errant universe here, but anyway,
not at all. It's not the Frank Sinatra song. It's not the Frank Sinatra song, My Way. No, it's a different one.
My Wave.
Oh, My Wave. Oh, okay.
My Wave. And then he just wails away. I mean, you know, he's got this voice that's just to die for, but no.
Yes, problem. Good voice, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. Let me think of that. I wanted to say that before I lose this thought, one of the really cool things about what happened with Jason and Martin coming together that way is that they broke through whether they meant to do this or not. And you and I theorized what they should talk about before you even approached them. You remember that, Cheryl? We were talking about it, and I wrote some ideas and sent that to you. I said, here's the territory they could focus on and not get into trouble with their conversation. And of course, they're probably smart enough to figure that out. But we had also talked it through, and they came together with two relatively large platforms, both of which are controversial in their own way. And they also have a lot of stuff they disagree about. And they were mature and creative enough to come together and bring the energy of their communities together to mutually support while not focusing on the areas of disagreement. And I thought that was a breakthrough.
Yeah. Actually, funny you should say that. I was talking to a couple of people because I've noticed, you know, I see in the back of the chats who's doing what and who's in which camp and whatever. And we've had quite a few people from Martin's channel over at Archaics, right? We've had, and you know, and there's, and vice versa. So, but there are also some people that are like, no, I don't trust that guy, and oh, he's an agent, and you know, all this nonsense, right? And I was like, oh, what a shame, because the two of them, and I was speaking like last year, more than a year ago, with a friend of mine, well, with Holistic Media, right? India, hello, how are you? And I was saying, man, Martin and Jason need to talk. They really need, and she says, yes, I know. And we're like, look, we got to manifest this, you know? And, you know, so we're trying to like, in the underground, kind of stitch some relationships between the communities, because it's so much crossover. And so, you know, they're destined to talk to each other, right? And I was like, it's going to happen inevitably. And she said, you know, it's eventually going to happen. You know, we just have to keep the love going and you know, try to manifest this. And I was like, yeah, because I was just thinking this, because I know the energies of both these people. I've been checking Martin's stuff out since around 2015, 2016, since he's been around. And I just thought, man, these two need to talk, because there's so much crossover in the research, and they can help each other so much, you know. And already in their talk, they were like, yeah, I'm going to send you all this stuff. Yeah, I'm going to send you all this stuff. And this is what we need to do, right? And so I think it just happened at the perfect time. Like, I was thinking a year ago or more, God, I wish these guys would get together. But a year ago probably wouldn't have been the right time. This was the right time. Everything is always at the perfect timing, right? And so I was just like, oh, I breathed a sigh of relief when I heard that they were going to talk together. And I was like, thank you, Cheryl. Yahoo, you bridge builder, you sweet ass, lovely lady. Like, you know, you know, because you need, and Saul is another one. You're another one, Saul. And people have told me that I am as well. I don't have a channel, but I do my things always in the background, trying to bridge people together, because I know that we're meant to talk together. We're not meant to be fighting and all this ankle biting and all this kind of stuff. Hey, I have strong opinions too. I can be like, that person's a real blah, blah, blah. Okay, but whatever, whatever. I just think that we really need to just drop that kind of stuff, and we need to look for the similarities and the things where we are vibrating on, and that is the summer of love. And it doesn't have to just be the summer. It can extend to the winter and the spring and fall and all season long, love. That's where we're heading.
On that note, Steve, Cheryl, Pamela just chimed in the chat, and she said, you know, she's got her woohoo, and she said, I'm making the best out of this, y'all. I'm making the best out of this, y'all. Take some deep breaths and let the divine mother flow through y'all with some heart action going on. So she's on the summer of love wavelength.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Can she hear us?
She rolls in. Good vibes. I'm sorry.
Can she hear us? Can she hear us right now?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. But
I'm talking to her in here. Y'all, there's one more element. Y'all got to hear this part. Okay. As the two communities came together, right? I was watching in the chat of what's going on. And then Martin had a podcast with Tom Campbell last week.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the thing. Wait a minute. Wait, Shiva. Listen to this. Okay, now if you think of it in a level of consciousness, what is it doing as the two communities come together? Because in part of the errant community, everybody's at kind of different stations in taking this leap from, you know, from we are these avatars in a physical world where things are happening to us. The leap is that we are all is mind and we're consciousness here. So that's the leap that needs to be taken by consciousness, right? So in the two communities, in, you know, Martin's community, there's a lot of people that are still in the physical realm, right? But then there's a few that are starting to make that leap. But then as the two communities come together, that's going to evolve those consciousnesses in there a lot faster. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And so I'm thinking it's the evolution of consciousness. This is the new, you know, we're in a simulation and we're consciousness paradigm coming in. And I think that this is the spearhead of the movement, right? So it's all starting to come together. The energies are starting to rise. Your things are starting to happen. And I think that I'm just sensitive to vibes. I felt the vibe coming. And I was like, oh, this is where we need to go next. And then it all just lined up on its own. Then Tom Campbell comes on Martin's show where it was highly controversial. And everybody in chat, some of them got just downright mad, right? It's the evolution.
Yeah, for sure.
Getting you out of there, right? Because when you're angry that the world is doing this to me and you're wrong, the world is flat, well, then you're still stuck there.
And oh, yeah. The NASA guy, the NASA and ex-military guy hanging out with flat earth British wackadoodle Martin. Whoa. I mean, okay. You know, right? And it's like, and what a great connection. What a great conversation. If you're caught up in the labels, then you're just going to go, oh, no, there's this guy. You know, he doesn't realize that. Yeah. Whatever, dudes. You know, just get over it. Let's get on with it, you know. Yeah, no, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful to see that.
And I was in there. We're trying to evolve here, right? Isn't that the point, you know, to evolve and grow our consciousness into and keep that creative, you know, mode flowing, because consciousness wants, it can't stop, it has to keep creating, right, Saul?
Absolutely. I was thinking about an interview I did with I had David Weiss on my show last year, and he was, you know, going into a lot of his flat earth data, and he made, you know, is really adamant that if we don't know where we are, then it really limits our ability to move forward. And, you know, so it's really important for us to acknowledge that the earth is flat and all of this. And I really considered that for a long time. And then I began looking deeper into the simulation model, the holographic model. And I tend to agree with Jason that it really doesn't matter because we are just consciousness in a something like a dream or a simulation. And not only that, to think that we could ever truly know what this mystery is without completely conflating back with God or the creator is, I would say it's a little hubristic. I think it's, you know, it's giving ourselves too much credit. Yeah, we have tons of potential, but we've tapped barely any of it yet.
Yes.
And we are in some ways at the start of a consciousness journey.
It's not like the babies.
The end of it. We're just waking up that consciousness is something that is real, that power and energy are real, that there's something like an evolution of consciousness that's possible, and that it might actually evolve your body as you go into other realms and experience other, essentially, lifetimes.
And this simulation is just trying to get us moving because we kind of been stagnant for a while. We got too comfortable. We had all this physical stuff to occupy our mind. Well, a lot of that changed over the years. People don't have as much, and then, you know, there's not as much to occupy your mind. And it helped a lot mm-hmm. of people start looking around themselves and going in where everything is. And now as I'm watching these communities come together, and yeah, there's some mud flow, you know, mud thrown here and there. But on the most part, what I saw was people getting to see bigger pictures for the first time. Because, you know, people that go to Martin's channel a lot, well, Tom showed up and he had some good information, and it was a bigger picture than what everybody's been
looking
at.
I enjoyed that.
For the first time, they're seeing this bigger picture come in that they've never seen before. And I think that is what is needed to help us get to, you know, where our evolution is starting to move again and going forward. Because
can I make a quick point?
But, sure.
Before we switch out of that, I agree with everything you're saying, very much on board. I feel like that the powers that be or that shouldn't be, or the elites or the deletes, whatever we want to call, you know, the minions of AIX, is very happy for all of these quote unquote alternative news channels, all of these truther channels, to say whatever the hell they want to say, as long as it's kept within a kind of confined physical materialistic realm, or if it engages in sort of fantastical bullshit relative to energy and consciousness, they'll let them do whatever, and they will never grow up. They'll never really change anything because they're working within the paradigm, within the duality construct most often. And they're not tapping into the true transformational and liberational power that we're touching on here. But what's happening with these communities starting to come together with information like what Archaics is putting out, like what some of these Toltec channels are talking about, like Tom Campbell, and like where Martin's going these days, to be quite frank, this is this new current. I'm curious to see if anything happens this year relative to the internet, if we see some kind of change or edit, or it shut down or partially shut down, or we lose information, we lose data, what does it take to get back on? Who might be excluded? That kind of thing. Because I feel like we're going to force people like us doing what we're doing in mass are going to force the hand of the AIX system to take to make another chess move. And I'm just curious to see what that is.
Yes. Yes, well, indeed.
Well, consciousness is meant to evolve, and AIX is here to help us do that. Thank you, AIX, for your service. And we appreciate you. So I think that all the data now, I think that if we're going good and, you know, we're starting to move forward again, I think AIX will chill out a little bit and let us, you know, do it. And maybe it won't include the thing that may come down the pike in September. See, it may just skip over that. because it's a consciousness evolving system. So, and sure. You know, this the larger system, it's going to edit out, you know, whatever it wants to, and then it's going to just skip over that part and then let it keep moving. Because I think as long as we're getting somewhere, I think it's when we get stuck somewhere is when it comes in here and starts really shaking things up, because the consciousness is not evolving, which
you mean in its role as a trainer, Cheryl, like something that's trying to keep us on the path. And it's like, it's sort of like a hard martial artist trainer. And it's like really keeping you on the straight and narrow. And if you get off of it, it's going to give you a lot of grief. But when you start moving again, it's going to let you move.
Yes. And yet, instead of getting the cosmic 2x4, we're going to start getting carrots. It's like, this way, y'all, this way. It's like little babies, right? They're toddlers. They're learning how to walk, right? Well, as it just starts getting up on its feet and it's starting to walk, well, you don't want to walk over and push it down. You want to put something there that's going to facilitate it and assist it, right? You don't want to stop the growth, because that's what the whole trainer's about. It's what it's trying to do, get us to evolve our consciousness and
exactly
and move forward. So to me, I think that this place can edit and do whatever it wants to, because it's a digital system.
Yeah. Even the cosmic 2x4, instead of letting it hit your face, I mean, you know, we get hit by the 2x4 all the time. We can just sort of gently move out of the way, sort of take it by the hand and use it as a shelf. You know, we can step on the 2x4 and say, okay, thank you for the platform. Thank you, Ax. I'm going to take this 2x4 and I'm going to use it as a little platform to stand on. You know, you don't even have to be hit by AIX. You can get clever enough. Once you know how to navigate it, you can get clever enough and even take the, you know, the slings and arrows and start to use them for your benefit. You know, this whole thing about flat earth and globe story is quite funny, because, okay, when you look at the math, if you're caught in the material, like Saul was mentioning, right? Okay, so you're in the material and then you realize you can see too far and you're saying, hang on, I can see too far. That means the globe cannot be 40,000 kilometers. I mean, that's just impossible, right? So according to the materialist world and what you observe, that's correct. This globe, it cannot be, you know, just that's impossible, right? But then you have other discrepancies like Little Diomede Island and Big Diomede Island, which are right beside, one's part of Russia, one's part of America, right? And they're a few kilometers from each other. So they should have the same sunset times and sunrise times, but they actually have a 3-hour difference. And in some time of the year, it's like 4 or 5 hour difference in the sunrise and sunset times. How can that be if these little islands are like 3 kilometers from each other? I mean, it's totally insane. That makes no sense in a materialist world. So then the flat earth thing starts to break down as well. You're like, that doesn't make any sense, right? And so you're like, yeah, but that's because what is the shape of the thing in your dream? You're like, well, there is no shape. It's in my head. It's a dream, where it's not even in your head. It's a dream. It's not a real thing. You're like, exactly. So you're in a dream. So there cannot be a flat or a round. I mean, you could say the flat is more observably correct within this materialistic confined thingy, that seems mathematically more accurate than the other thing, but it's also not accurate because it breaks down when you look at it in other ways, and then people get confused. But if you're caught in the materialist thing, you're thinking, well, it has to be this or it has to be that. And that's why people have problems with Mandela effects and other absurd things that don't fit into their bookends. They say, No. There must be a perfectly reasonable explanation for this. And there is no explanation for this. It's just freaking magical, weird, wah-ha, because it's a dream, you know? And that's the thing. That's why people, their mind is so smart, so good to be able to see through the deceptions and the hoaxes and all this stuff, just looking, hey, because of this and this and A and B, it cannot be C. It's impossible. You're like, absolutely. But then there gets to a point where it's like, yeah, but Ed McMahon doesn't deliver checks anymore. And you're like, what? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You cannot just mathematically explain that away. And yet there it is. So then at a certain point, you have to say the left brain confined materialistic reality that you're holding on so strongly, the thing that has helped you get over the hoaxes and look through all the deceptions is now standing in the way, is now blocking you from embracing the mystery and the magic, right? And
you know, it's very similar to the germs and terrain theory, what you're describing, yeah. Globe versus flat earth thing. And really, I think we're dealing with something, because it's not a reality, it's something like a simulation or a shared, mutually created dream. We have the ability to perceive different versions of the same reality we seem to be co-inhabiting.
Yep, absolutely.
And you get into this classical Tower of Babel scenario where we literally are getting different feeds. We're getting different data feeds.
Yep.
Different data feeds.
Exactly. In one paradigm, germs do cause illness. And they're right about that. And you see all these people getting sick, blah, 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 blah. And in the other paradigm, that's the most absurd thing in the world. And it's certainly not very natural sounding or holistic. And there's a lot to be said for boosting your inner strength and detoxifying and all of that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of problems with the quote unquote science around isolation of certain things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But honestly, I think the dream is so weird that over there in the germ camp, they have isolated it in their version of the dream. And when they're communicating, they're just trying to reach through the Tower of Babel barrier to let people know what's going on. But then it's distorted by the dream into something that seems absolutely nonsensical. And it goes the same opposite way as well. And here's the thing that's going on in the Toltec world. We don't even have our own minds. We have been given the mind of AIX, or what they call the mud flyers, or the flyers, or the mud shadows. And this is a predatorial, quote unquote, alien being, meaning it's not from this plane, whatever this is, right? It's from somewhere else, not necessarily from outer space, because all of that seems to be bunk in a dream. It's just all whatever it is, whatever you dream it into being. This thing is what is feeding on people. This is the origin of the concept of loosh. It literally takes your luminous coat of consciousness and it feeds on it down to where it's around your ankles, thus ankle biters.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is what we're dealing with. Now, the thing about it is that people can get all up in arms about how to defeat the archons or the demiurge or the mud shadows, the flyers, whatever this predatorial, apex predatorial consciousness is, because in the Toltec view, this is a predator, but it's also something that has an intelligence that is far superior to human intelligence in this manipulative way.
Yes. You won't be able to out-manipulate it.
You talk about 5D chess. This is 12D chess. This is way beyond anything we can deal with in a cognitive fashion. Can't be done. Plus, we have its mind, and it's controlling us through actually feeding us the construct that it wants us to live in and to empower with our dreams into existence.
Yeah.
You can't fight it. And you can only Aikido it and turn it this adversary, quote unquote, into a benefactor, quote unquote, by realizing that the only way to get this thing off of our bodies, off of our energy field, is to go inside, do the inner work, face the shadow, turn off the internal dialogue, get real with ourselves, and move forward. And when you do that, according to the Toltecs, your energy field develops a bad taste for the mud flyers, the mud shadows. I keep saying that. They don't like it anymore and they leave you alone. This is kind of like breaking pattern on a certain, in a certain way. And then you go your own way. Your energy field starts to grow back little by little as it's no longer being literally fed upon. And then you can step into your power and step into your inner warrior, your inner sorcerer, your inner Nakhwal, Toltec, whatever, and then eventually do absolutely miraculous things inside the dream. And that was a rant. I had a really good rant going, guys.
Oh, that was absolutely good, though. That was good, Saul. I wanted to say something right quick before we leave this topic. Okay, now think about the flat Earth platform is a stepping stone to simulation and consciousness paradigm. They needed the flat Earth to see a bigger reality. See, you've got because that's a the flat Earth is a whole different reality than y'all live on a globe. We saw in the classroom, and this is what we're doing. And then when they move and start thinking about, wait a minute, this may not be that. That is seeing a bigger picture. So maybe the consciousness here needs that stepping stone to get to the next one. So it's almost like I see a series of gates, right? And each gate, each stepping stone gets you closer to a closer reality of what we really experience here. Because, all mind, like I say, in the dream, and because it's not a physical plane. They've been looking for physical matter forever and still can't find it. So, I think that each thing that we go through, it's the evolution of consciousness. You can't just go from, okay, it's a physical reality to in this all the way over to, oh, it's a simulation of consciousness. It takes stepping stones to get there. And I think that these narratives are laying in there as the stepping stones to get there because we are in a huge paradigm shift now. And it's going from the industrial age to the digital age, which is mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you say digital, but I wanna point out that I don't think the simulation itself is digital. I think we are in a concept that is far more organic than that. That is merely a framework. I personally don't think we're sitting in suits outside of the simulation because I don't think there is an outside of the simulation. And
Oh, I don't either. That's
I
just
don't think I don't think we're
what I
gonna
think.
pop out in that world. I mean, I love Jason's work and I'm a moderator and supporter of his stuff and have cited him and interviewed him and everything in the world. But this is a place that I just simply disagree. I think that's a sci-fi fantasy. It's not real.
Yeah. Well, it's like the map is not the territory, right? When you make a sketch of a tree, right? It's never the tree itself. You can spend 10 years on that sketch and you can't even get one leaf completely correct. The detail of the tree is so incredible that you can only make a sketch of it, right? So that's what it is. Any concept where you say you're in suits or whatever, that is a sketch, a model of reality. It's not actually what's happening. It's a way to understand things, like you can say Brahma broke himself up into trillions of pieces and then made all these things forget that they were part of the source and whatever. And this is a, there's all these ways to explain a model of the universe, but none of it is actually the way it is. So there's not really guys in suits and this kind of thing. That's still an attachment to the material, that.
Absolutely. I think that's part of what I wanted to get at. In the Toltec world, they talk about inventories. And so any reality that is constructed through your consciousness, through your dreaming consciousness, is based on a set of data points, like a warehouse that's filled with an inventory, right? It has certain things in your warehouse. And so now, for example, a lot of the flat earthers in Martin's community and the expanded flat earth community, they have some new things in the warehouse. There are new pieces of inventory leading them in a certain direction to look possibly at a larger picture. And I don't want to pigeonhole everyone who's into flat earth by any means. I mean, there are brilliant people in that community, and a lot of them probably think a lot of the things we've been saying, and they thought it maybe before we did. Who knows? It's very possible. But I do want to just point out that we are in a kind of info war, in some ways, with shifting our inventory. It is shifting the inventory that allows you to change the reality, the quote unquote reality. The Toltecs say, they say, build your inventory as well as you can, as soundly as you can, to create as airtight a reality as you can, and then throw it away and get ready to build another one.
Exactly. So correct. Very
Shifting
true.
inventories. We're shifting inventories. That's a good one, Saul. And as we shift inventories, you pick up something in your inventory, you're like, no, I've got this. And then the other person over there's like, well, I don't have that. I've got this over here. It's like, well, you're wrong. And then throw your wrench over there. But eventually I think it's shifting so much. It's going to get to where everyone looks and goes, oh, wait a minute. There's something else going on here, right?
Yeah, it's like an endless cycle of creation and destruction. Like if you could say digital is like zeros and ones, right? So you've got 0101, creation, destruction. You know, Shiva is the god of destruction, and then Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the preserver, right? So you're always vacillating constantly, rapidly, and sometimes slowly between creation and destruction. So you create a model, you destroy it. You create it and then you destroy it. So it's, yep. so that's you could expand your idea of digital to like just zeros and ones. All it is just creation and destruction. You're creating a model, then you're destroying it. And that's, and destruction is a beautiful thing. Destruction is creation too. When you chew your food, you're destroying the food. You're breaking it down into little parts so that it can create energy in your body. And then it can help preserve you. So, you know, these are all these different models that we just design. And then we have to throw it away, you know, because holding on to any model is ridiculous because it's not really how things are. As soon as you say something, it's not really what it is. You know, that sounds contradictory, but, you know, that's, you know, reality can't really be encapsulated with words or put in a container.
Agreed, Shiva.
Or even any thought. It doesn't even have to be words. It can be
exactly even a thought.
Even feelings are approximation of
exactly.
We experience them. They're an approximation of that ultimate reality.
Mm-hmm. I
was thinking about protons, electrons, yin and yang, black and white, shadow, and you know, all of the different complementary aspects of what we perceive as a duality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I've even heard, I mean, there's people like Ken Wheeler and other people who say, and they're correct when they say this, that electrons don't actually exist. They don't really exist. And then neutrons break down into protons within 17 seconds. So they hardly exist either. And I'm like, I totally agree with you. And also protons don't exist either. I'll go one further. And because, you know, the reality, I mean, oh, you can say there's a material reality.
That's the same thing we were talking about with germs and with Earth and stuff. Yeah. It's like, but these other scientists have seen it. They've documented it, right? But they're going to Tower of Babel each other because we are experiencing variations of the same reality where apparently different things are happening. I mean, think about mud floods. Think about all the resets, the Mandela effect, all the things that we've been talking about for a long time. They are suggestive that people from different vantage points are perceiving different events, different phenomena, different
quote-unquote
physical data.
Yeah, like Jason's talked about these things that you see in the sky. There's all these reports, like we saw this in the sky. The village next door, like 20 kilometers nearby, is looking at it going, they didn't report anything. So how could they not have seen this incredible thing in the sky that these people's, I mean, that's showing you that it's, you know, that doesn't make any sense. And the material, they go, well, you know, maybe those people are lying. It's like, no, there's all these reports of this thing happening. It's well documented. And yet right nearby, there's no documentation, you know. And so people say, oh, well, they destroyed the records. It's like, no, there's too many cases of people right in the same area. These people seeing it, these people not seeing it. What's going on there, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. That's a really good example. Mm-hmm. You know, the you were talking about the creation and destruction. That's one of the things I love about Jason's work is that he's kind of charting that pulse.
Mm-hmm.
That creation destruction pulse, that's that wave that's going through our realm. It's like it's the heartbeat of the realm, and he's doing it on a kind of macro historical level.
Yes, exactly. He's charting the pulse, like he's noticing patterns that just seem, you know, just all this huge amount of data, right? That was never laid out like this. It took someone like him to actually sit down, look at all this data. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He was trying to, you know, prove the veracity of the Bible and various things and looking. And then he started to look, and all these data points were coming, and he went, hang on here. what is this pattern emerging? Kind of like the Mandelbrot set, right? When you have this little equation, and if you plot like 100 points, it's just 100 random points, even if you plot 1,000 points. Once you get computers and you're able to plot millions of points, then this little blubby snowman thingy comes out, you know, with the complexity of the fractal, right? The Mandelbrot set from a simple equation. You're like, oh my God, look at that pattern. It's like a pattern emerges in the chaos, and it's an absolute definite pattern, you know, and it's undeniable. And it's kind of like what he did with Chronicon with the, well, all these historical events. He's like, there's all these patterns, guys. Like, this is 138, and there's a 792, and like, what the hell's going on here? And everything is related to everything else mathematically, and pi and phi, and it just, and he looked at it so much studying history, he realized that history can't really be real. He studied all these facts to show that it's a fact that facts cannot be facts.
I love that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so well said. So, because I was going to ask you two if you thought that, in addition to being like this Mandelbrot set that you mentioned, if it's also like a Rorschach test where he's seeing the patterns, but he's also kind of creating the patterns.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Actually, again, we are creating a version of history, and you know that. It opens up so many cans of worms because you get into retrocausality and the possibility to mold the future, etc. I know Cheryl's like gonna like explode. Hey, go!
It rolled right into where it's supposed to go. It rolled right into it because we're all creating narratives. We are all composers here, right? So as we're all looking at it, it's changing the whole thing. So here you go. The Mandela effect. Sim edits, resets, big edits, right? Then you go to recapitulation. Those are personal edits. So then it creates personal Mandela effect, and it shifts our assemblage point. The whole system is doing the same thing. So as to we me, all look at it,
all those words are like the same thing to me. Like they're all the same. People are like, I'm like, those are all just different angles, different towers of Babel, different language, different ways of explaining the same thing. You know, these are edits. It's so, and it's beautiful. That's what I love about it. It's not like, oh, well, this is off in a little category. It's like, no, all those things that you just mentioned are, this is the way reality is. I mean, we have words, okay, they're not going to describe everything, but they really go a long way in explaining that this reality is not what we thought it was. It's a beautiful, changeable thing that we can actually program. We can edit it. We can create it. We can program it. We can change it just by looking at it a different way. And it's
we're
beautiful.
Doing it.
Back to that word, you know, Jason's word is the simulacrum, or the, you know, I can't even say it the way he says it, but
simulacrum.
You know, that's a great concept. This responsive medium, this environment that we're in.
I'm
all over it. I want to toot for a minute. I wrote an ebook last fall called Playing in the Magic: How to Manifest Whatever You Desire in the Simulation, and I just did an audiobook version of it. It draws very heavily on Jason's work and the three holy or sacred qualities of intuition, imagination, and empathy, and how we go about creating our reality. And so I walk people through that with my own thoughts and some of my own history and family history and some other things to really help people conceptualize and actualize this way of looking at the world. And I'm going to be presenting that, or that will, it's already been made, but it will be presented at Anarchapulco's upcoming nonconformist series called Vital and Awake. And Campbell of Autodidactic is going to be there. Andrew Kaufman's going to be there talking about why you shouldn't trust the medical system, the Bigelson brothers, all kinds of people are going to be there. So I wanted to really let people know that's happening. I'll put the link in the show notes so that people can come over and check that out. You can register for free, and then you can hear this thing that I wrote, which really does feature Jason's work in a super positive light, and I'd love your feedback if you get a chance to check that out. That's in 2 weeks approximately.
That's cool. So up. this is This is Anarchapulco is the, you know, the gathering in Mexico. Is this connected to that?
He knows about this, and he was really he was enthusiastic about this presentation. And it's going to be, let's see, the people on the speaker role, you've got Dale Holmes is an Australian speaker. He's talking about like AI and the synthetic agenda. You've got the Biggleson brothers who are into holographic blood, which is really
live blood analysis.
They kind of go beyond microscopy and that sort of thing, but they are in that realm. You've got Craig Hoy, who's a shamanic healer, going to be speaking. Leland Stillman, MD, who is going to be doing some kind of presentation. I don't have all the presentations sitting in front of me in terms of what the names of the presentations are. Oh, here they are. Yeah, this is cool. So you've got Luis Fernando Mises is doing the power of conscious connected breath work. You've got Morgan May, holistic psychiatry. You've got Stillman presenting on a spirited soul being. Who wakes up first, AI or the human civilization? This is Ryan Belly doing stuff. So it's a 3-day event, pretty jam-packed with information that should be new to people for the most part.
Cool.
That sounds awesome, Saul.
And Saul Luckman writing.
Yeah, well, they wanted to
That's
get
the Jason. Most important thing.
Right. Well, they had reached out to Jason, but I don't know if he just never responded or it just found himself too busy or whatever. So when they got me on board, they were interested in having me do something simulation related because I guess I was coming up in some of their searches or their recommendations for that. So this ebook, this audio book that I'm presenting is all about the simulation and how to survive and thrive here.
Mm-hmm. Great. So is this a physical meeting or on the one is it's Anarchapulco or it's an Anarchapulco related event?
It because is produced by Jeff Berwick and Anarchapulco. So it's that same thing. And let's see, let me look at what I had a little post that I had written up on it, but let's see. It's May 19th through 21st. It's to take charge of your wellness journey and challenge the status quo with natural and holistic health practices designed for nonconformists. And so my book is really about how to manifest health and well-being and abundance and that kind of thing. Excellent. So it's virtual. It's free registration. If you register for it, you get to watch it as it happens. And then after that, I think it's paid for if you want to hang on to that information or keep watching or whatever. So. Mm-hmm.
Great. So are you going to be reading
I've already created, Lee and I spent about a week creating the audiobook for
Magic,
which is also available as an ebook on my Substack at soulluckman.substack.com. But she did a great job. We've got these fantastic images and music and created about an hour long audiobook presentation that's very visual and thought provoking and super simulation oriented. There's a great artist that we were able to take advantage of who's doing all these somewhat like Castaneda images of dreamers and people creating the reality and doing magical things. And so these images are scattered throughout with this really cool music that I got off of Epidemic Sound. So I'm kind of excited about it.
Sounds great. Sounds really good. Thank you for telling me. I'm definitely going to register for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. If you use my link, if people will be so kind as to use my link, I could get credit for that. It's that kind of thing.
Okay.
There as well, but I'll put the link in the show notes and we'll see where it goes. And I'm also going to be posting, it may be up by the time this goes out, I'm going to post about a 10-minute teaser of the presentation on my YouTube channel.
I'll be there in the front row seat watching it all.
So I know I kind of derailed this a little bit, but it's what I really wanted to.
Oh yeah, we're recording, right? Oh, I thought we were just shooting the shit here. Okay.
So we were talking about all of the simulation things.
Oh,
that's my simulation news. I've been immersed in this project, and it just happened, and so now it's moving forward.
Oh, that's awesome. Sounds like they're changing reality too, aren't they? Into a new and different paradigm.
Well, it's interesting. There's another shamanic guy on the list who's doing some of that work. And then you've got Campbell from Autodidactic who's doing something more along the Tartarian lines. He's got something happening there. And then a lot of other people are doing various types of holistic health and that sort of thing. So there is at least a simulation theory representative on the speaker lineup list.
Great. Sounds great. It's all part of the summer of love.
Move on forward.
Summer of love. That's right.
Nice one. Yeah, that's great. That's really cool.
It looks like a lot of people are stepping up to kind of take responsibility for moving forward, because, you know, what we've created has already been created, and it's time to move on and create something new, right? Because that's why things aren't working anymore, because it's time to create the next thing, right?
Yeah, I like that. You know, you got to keep moving. I get totally bored doing the same old thing over and over. You know, a lot of people look at my work, and I do all this art and I have all these books, and they're all kind of different and all over the place. And they think I'm like super ADD or something. And maybe I am, but really I just get bored doing the same damn thing over and over again.
That's probably consciousness of nature. You know, it's like, okay, we've done this for 3,000 or 6,000 years. Let's do something new, y'all.
That's right. That's right. You know, I mean, it's been fun doing the channel, my YouTube channel. And, you know, all of our conversations have been very different, Cheryl. I've only had Shiva on the show once, but I have a feeling, you know, we'll end up doing that again. And it's just amazing what comes out of some of these conversations and the feedback. Like, people are hungry for people just talking about this kind of thing and being real and asking questions, presenting different possibilities, and also moving away from this uber materialistic paradigm that has just kept us in shackles.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this was a good idea, Saul, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot's already come out in this conversation. I love Shiva's point about the two islands and how that contradicts the flat earth model. And, you know, I just think we have to embrace the mystery. It's that title of my audiobook is Playing in the Magic. It's kind of a nod to this idea that we are in, you know, a kind of enchanted environment. And so many people are freaked out by the world and they see things. I've never seen so much negativity. Maybe that has to do with the economy really getting hammered, and it's all on purpose. They're trying to drive everything down so they can take credit for building it back up. We're just in 2008 redux. This is subprime too, in a way. And, you know, I just feel like there's going to be a massive turnaround within the next, you know, 6 months. What I actually think is going to happen is there's going to be a really big tanking starting sometime in the summer. It's going to take the markets down even further. This is not financial advice, but over the course of the fall, I think a bottom is going to fall out. People are going to absolutely be freaking the hell out.
Yep.
And then as we round into 2024, I think that we're going to actually begin to see a bull market.
Yeah, I think so too.
And stuff, and everything is going to go bananas, and the economy is going to get really good. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some new leadership. They're going to be taking credit and trying to put in some kind of new system, because look, you know, here we are, we saved the day. Let us just, you know, tweak this a little more and make it so that these bad things can't happen again.
Right. And right. Exactly. And the people are going to get equally as fooled by the fear and the tanking as they are by the ascension. And they're just going to be like, you know, they're like, oh, everything's totally gone to shit. And then it's like, oh, wow, everything's so great. And both of those are a deception. And I don't, you know, if you're surfing the wave, you're not going to get drawn into either of them. You're not going to get drawn into the fear on the way down and the elation on the way up. Nothing wrong with being happy, but just to know that the elation, as you pointed out, is going to be used by, someone's going to take credit for it and say, oh, we need this new system so that this tanking never happens again. And the people will be like, yeah, that's so true. Wow. And they're going to fully trust. You know how it goes. They're just playing with people on the way up and on the way down. And this endless sine wave of, you know, elation and fear and, you know, and how they get their energy from. It's like a battery, kind of the positive and negative battery. They have us go get really fearful and then get really joyful, and they sort of suck energy from this. But that's fine. Once you know that, you don't have to be drained from any of that experience. You can just say, okay, I'm going to have a continuous summer of love. I'm not going to be drawn down into this winter of despair, you know.
And the slough of despond.
Exactly. I won't be staring at any bottoms. No.
We can stay perpetually joyful and happy and move forward through these trials and things. We always get to pick what our attitude is around it. And as we know that everything is all right and things will be okay, then we can move forward and not have as much AIX chasing us around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that even people in the greater errant community are certainly concerned by some of the things that we're seeing out there. All I know to do, and you know, this is the advice that I have given myself, and I'll just put this out there, is just ignore it all. What else are you going to do? You can spend a lot of time prepping, and you know, maybe some degree of prepping is fine, but really, what are you going to do? I mean, if the shit really hits the fan, do you think your prepping is going to really matter a lot? No, it's just not. And there's lots of reasons for that. And meantime, you've not lived when you could be living. Every day is precious. It's like, you know, I'm always really looking, not every second. I mean, I'm learning this like everyone else who's on this path, but I'm learning how to use my death as an advisor. That you're going to die. You know, yep. You're going to die. Stop acting like you're not. and maybe you won't ultimately, because there are other possibilities in play here, but you treat that as a very serious advisor, and the advice it typically gives is get off your ass, do something with your day, build some energy, turn away from that situation that's distracting you. And most importantly, stop self-pitying. Yeah. Self-pity will just suck it out of you so fast, yes. The life force out of you faster than anything. What and so people who are indulging in fear and internet porn are actually practicing a type of self-pity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed, yep. Saul. We are not victims here. I don't believe that. I think we only have, you know, the limitations that we put on ourselves.
Yeah. Yep. And people are always engaging with each other and reinforcing each other's victim consciousness. Like, it's such a seductive thing, you know, and to say, poor me. And you're like, yes, yes, poor you. And it seems like you're comforting someone, but you're not comforting them by going along with their bullshit, by going along with their victim consciousness. You're not helping them, you know. No. You gotta, some people need a bit of a gentle touch. I understand that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to get over that stuff, you know, because we keep on enabling each other, saying, poor me. And you said, yes, poor you. And then me also, poor me. And then, oh, you also, poor you. And then everyone's just stroking each other. And it's just so negative. You're never going to get anywhere. You got to get out of the victim consciousness.
You just have to hold strong in your joyfulness and hold strong in your positivity. When you hold strong there, then that helps everybody around you, because you're at a different vibration, and that your vibration affects them. It's that thing again, be the change. You want
to
see?
Yeah, I like that. I really like to focus on the positivity, the follow your bliss. I've mentioned this a lot of times. There's a nuance for me, my experience using death as an advisor, where it's more like boot camp, where you've got this sergeant on your ass. It's making you move forward because you have to. You got to do it. There's just not another choice. And so sometimes you're not in joy when that's happening. You're just doing it because you know you should be doing it, and meaning it's good for you. And if you do it, you'll feel better. If you do, you know, your shamanic movements, your magical passes, if you do your recapitulation, if you do these things, then yeah, you will get stronger. You will have fewer problems. You will have less illness. All these things will, you know, will come into your life in a really positive way. And if you don't, then you're just kind of sliding into inaction and denial in many ways. Now, having said that, there's a lot to be said for breaking pattern, even in these types of pursuits, where you just have a day where you just absolutely go out and play. You don't think a thought about any of that. You are in joy. You are just doing really silly things. All of this.
You're really off duty.
You're off duty. But the funny thing is you're actually not, because you're using that clarity, that negative positive thing we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
To actually build energy.
Yeah. Well, it's like what Eagle Feather talks about. You know, Don Juan says that clarity makes you never doubt yourself. You know, you're clear about everything, and you know, and then that's the problem with this clarity. That can become a problem. You know, what does he say? Having jumped into creation's bosom, you've access to your totality. And Don Juan says, now you encounter power. And then once you get the power, you're like, oh, yes, I can do it. The power can be very seductive, right? You can do all these things. You can manifest all this stuff. But then that's the most dangerous one to get trapped in, you know, because of its seductiveness. It's the hardest of all the barriers to transcend, right?
So you're saying the clarity is?
No, power. Once you get power, the power.
Clarity is tricky, but yes, power is the really big one.
That's the tricky one. And then you get to the old age. And of course, you know, as you get to old age, there's actually a quote. Can I read it from Ken Eaglefeather?
Yeah. You know, I've been digesting his work.
It's great stuff. Yes. So old age is a time when we naturally enter higher abstractions and sense a more expansive picture of life and death. One problem is that culturally, we've never adequately explored this time of life. Mm. Hence, we don't know how to capitalize on it. Since we typically regard the world of human activity as the complete world, Don Juan viewed old people as usually being exhausted, having exhausted the world of people, but not the world itself. As a result, the elderly are often left with a sense of unfulfilled dreams, when in fact, old age lends itself to dreaming and venturing beyond societal concerns. The elderly have literally spent a lifetime working their way through a maze of social requirements. But as a society, we don't have a Toltec-like context with which to develop the fullness of life. Therefore, we can't reap dividends accrued by extending the ordinary conditions of what is considered a natural life. Don Juan says that by studiously following a Toltec path, you will find old age to be a time when you have no fears and no impatient clarity of mind, and the barrier of power is controlled. But you want to rest. Your momentum wanes and seemingly turns back in on itself, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very fascinating stuff and good to keep in mind, you know, the movement from to get over your fears and then the clarity and then the power. And then the old age is something to be celebrated and loved if you can handle the tiredness, you know.
He goes on from there to say that if you can push through the tiredness,
exactly.
If you can just hold it at bay using whatever strategies you can use, including shamanic strategies, following your bliss, traveling, creating new neuronal pathways, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Then your energy will pool and will crystallize at a certain beautiful moment that is unachievable anywhere else in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
It will be so gratifying and satisfying that it will all have been worth it. But you just have to soldier on through the fatigue until it lifts.
Yep.
That's good to know, Saul. Push through the fatigue and you're going to get a crystal. And then you get to go to the land you want to go to.
Yeah, I mean, at least these are possibilities, right? And if nothing else, you get a kind of, you know, an epiphanic moment or something occurs in your consciousness, your understanding, your energy that allows you to be in gratitude and super present with where you are, even if that's the very end of your life.
Yep.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, they're all necessary stages, actually. And that's why you can't let it just you've come this far. You've gone beyond the fear, the clarity, the power. And now you're in old age and you're like, oh, I'm too tired. You're like, no. You've made it this far. Just a little bit more. And you're going to see how worthwhile it all is.
Yeah, rally. I mean, one of the things people can do, I keep coming back to this. In the Toltec shamanism, there are two primary things that people can do to raise their energy and increase their health and all of that. And one is the recapitulation, where you basically just replay your life with a breathing exercise, and you do this on a regular basis. And what's basically happening is you are giving back any body's energy that you've taken on, that's been kind of attached to you, and you're taking back your own energy. And when you do this, you will literally feel more energized. And other strange things will begin to happen kind of out of the blue. You will just feel calmer. You'll get more insights. Your relationships will improve. You will see changes in other people's behavior that you've recapitulated, even if they don't know what the heck you're doing and they're not recapitulating, because you've removed yourself from that equation and it changes your relationship. I have seen this in my own life. It is very, very amazing what can be done with that. So this is a great thing for people at any stage, but even if you're at a very advanced age, you can recapitulate. You can spend time recapitulating. You can recapitulate for hours on end if you want to, and see what happens to your energy level, see what happens to your health and other markers. And then the other thing is that the magical passes are things that some of them can be done just lying in bed. They can be done, without a lot of movement at all. And some of them require being on your feet and doing movement, but these help break up sort of like accretions or hardening or almost like incrustation in your energetic envelope. And they make that energy available to you again. And so when those things work together, the magical passes with the recapitulation, it can raise your energy and it can increase your dreaming ability. And when you go into dreaming, you're tapping into that kundalini sexual energy. That's what dreaming energy is. And all of this energy that I'm talking about is the same thing, just different manifestations of it. And the dreaming will increase your personal energy, and then your personal energy will increase your dreaming. And you can just build it back and forth, like flipping a Cuban sandwich until it's done.
That's amazing, Saul.
Yep.
Excellent. That we can always increase our energy, even if we think that, oh, I'm just so tired, I think I'm ready to die now. You know, we can always increase it, even up to the point of death, with this method. It's just a fantastic editing tool here.
It is, and it's so self-empowering. I would say one more thing. The work that brought me back from the brink when I was really, really sick is called Regenetics. And I discovered some things about the energy body that were not talked about in the Toltec literature, but some of it had a lot of resonance with the Toltec concepts. And one of them is the idea that, you know, you're kind of, there are ways to recover your energy. We discovered, Lee and I discovered, that people walk around for the most part with a huge openness in their second chakra area. In the Toltec work, the Toltec shamanism, the area just below your navel is where your will is. And that's where energy enters and leaves your body. So when you die, that this thing opens up. And we found that the second chakra, which is right in this area, we call it the fragmentary body. And most people are walking around with that thing just wide open, and they're leaking energy all over the place. We also theorize that that's where things like mental parasites or the flyers or whatever, that's how they get into you and take over your mind. Mm-hmm. The first thing that we did with Regenetics was we figured out how to seal up the fragmentary body through an energetic activation. And when that happens, your energy increases. Duh. It's amazing. Your consciousness, your fire, your creativity, all of that just goes vertical.
Mm-hmm. So then when you seal that fragmentary body up, that's going to mean the energy in that being is going to start increasing. And so it's going to have to work through any issues it's got to be able to flow that energy through their life.
Yes.
Because if they don't, they will blow up.
Spontaneously combust. No, not really. But what you sometimes see is people who resist the changes, you know, have a harder time than people who really go with it, because they've been given this sudden, rapid gift of a lot of their own energy, basically, is what's going on. Mm. And it
with
that
you
can creatively, that can be expressed sexually, that can make marriages, that can break marriages. But what it will do, if you'll let it, is it will change your life, and it will change it pretty darn fast. And then
like your life takes just like a left-hand turn, and that's it. You're there.
Well, I don't mean that it's a miracle necessarily, you know, in terms of resolving all of one's problems.
Oh, but no, I mean change.
Well, most of our problems have to do with a lack of energy or a lack of personal power. So when you increase that, almost anything can be addressed if you increase it enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proposing that this regenetics model combined with recapitulating and doing magical passes is an amazing 1-2-3 punch to moving forward.
Yes. And like sound is part of your method as well, right? Because the sound is being supported by the diaphragm, which is in that area.
Exactly. And we teach deep diaphragmatic breathing to do the work.
Exactly. Right. And that's how you, when you do singing training, before you even do any notes, you do breathing. You're doing diaphragmic breathing, supporting with the diaphragm. You know, you're not pushing, you're doing it as natural as possible. And you need those bellows, you know, and you need to work on that. I did some vocal training and, you know, the first several lessons had no singing whatsoever. It was all breathing because that's what you need to support the singing.
I remember that. I remember taking voice lessons when I was in high school. Not that you could tell, I don't have a great voice or anything, but I did it. And the first thing we did was we worked on breathing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the right way to do it. There's other ways to do it where people push on your chest and stuff. And that's like the opposite of what you should be doing. But yeah, it's wonderful. And that's it. Sound is healing. I mean, everything is kind of sound, really. Everything is vibration. And that sound is very important.
I actually think that the creational current of this dream that we're in, which the Toltecs would call the eagle's emanations, is actually a type of sound current. And that it, as it materializes in a dreamlike state, it becomes more holographic and light-based.
Yes, that's,
so that in the beginning was the word, you know.
Was the word, I was just going to say that, in the beginning was the word.
Phrase, you have the amazing phrase, let there be light. That shows you that light is created through sound.
Yep.
The statement itself is a sentence. Let there be light, and then boom,
exactly right, exactly. Yeah, correct. Like when Terence McKenna also talks about going into that DMT world or any shaman, where he talks about how you go and see these self-transforming machine elves, and they're like speaking these shapes into existence. They're like, and they're making these incredible colorful objects by singing them into existence, and that's what it's all about. You know, the visual is created by the sound, and the sound is just this emanation. It's beautiful, and we're doing this all the time,
Time. Do you know Ken Carey's work? Starseed books back in the day. He wrote The Bird Tribes, Return of the Bird Tribes, if you're familiar with that book. He's a beautiful, beautiful writer. And he wrote in one of his books, I'm trying to remember which one it is. I can quote the quote, but I don't remember which book it's in. He said that, it's Starseed, the Third Millennium. He wrote, when you love fully without reservation, you feel, sense, and move within love's rhythmic current. The definition songs that pulse through your soul are free to call out the excellence of your surroundings. As you allow love, here we are, the summer of love, to flow out from within you, you will remember things that you had forgotten about these physical realms. You will remember that everything has a soul song that is at once its definition and its expression. You will recognize all that lives in this blessed biosphere as objectifications of your own melodies. And consciously then you will sing the songs of distinction, the songs that call forth all that appears in this environment. A sculptor can always use a hammer and chisel, but if she can sing the right songs, the songs that speak the true names, the songs that go to the very heart of the matter with which she works, she can inspire that matter to participate intelligently in its own development and recreation. Mm-hmm. When you perceive conceptions of yet unmanifest physical possibilities, you will be able to guide the molecular flow of appropriate substance into those designs. Awakened, you know your human circuitry for what it is, a system of empathy, representation, and creation designed to regulate and evoke biology.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah.
Cheryl, am I muted or are you muted?
Cheryl's muted.
Oopsie. I said, that was beautiful. That totally resonates. That was beautiful, Saul. Thank you.
I wish I'd written it, but Ken Carey is amazing. And so when we were developing, we developed the four primary activations in Regenetics. And later on, Lee and I were impulsed to create songs that stimulate glandular healing and work with specific organ systems. And we called them Songs of Distinction.
Wow.
This place is not as it appears to be, Saul.
Got that right. Definitely, definitely. I didn't mean to make this all about my work. I just got off on this tangent. I've been thinking a lot about how this work relates to the shamanism that I've been studying. And it's just obvious to me that they are deeply related.
Oh, it's definitely related. I was thinking the whole time, you know, you've been getting into this, and I thought, my God, it's like before you ever even heard of these things, you've already been working in these modalities, working with sound, working with, you know, so similar to Toltec and simulation. And, you know, it's great.
Well, and I had a Mandela effect with that, Shiva. I had a crazy Mandela effect where I can remember reading the Castaneda books back in the day. And I thought I had read them all, and I would swear that I did. but then I got to like book four, or book five, this last round. I just read them over the last few months, and I couldn't remember a damn thing from like book five on, practically.
Wow. No way.
I am completely serious, as if, and that's where all of the sound healing and energy stuff that I talk about these days is from the later books, not from the earlier books in the series.
Wow.
That's interesting.
It's like true. I had a mind wipe so I could just do it clear of any preconceptions about what my work should be. Like Spirit was saying, I'm just going to swipe that out of your brain. Yeah. And then I'm going to give you what to do, and you're going to do it. It's going to work. And then you can teach people how to do it.
You got to sim edit, Saul. You got to edit. I
got to sim edit by the eagle. The eagle just edited my brain.
Wow, that is so wild. Yeah, you had definitely a fire and brimstone, just burned to the ground kind of reset. But then it was still there. The funny thing is, it was still there, though. That this is the funny thing. Even though it was gone, like a Mandela effect, right? It's gone. It's like the thing is, it's no longer mirror, mirror. Ed McMahon doesn't deliver the checks. But you remember that he did, right? You know, like somehow you still, now you're reading it going, oh my God, this is related to the work that I did. And you're like, what? But I didn't read this. No, but I did read it. But then I don't remember it. Like, what's going on? And it all came out in my work, you know? And someone's going to say, yes, I know, Saul, you're insane. You're a crazy man. You have ADD and all kinds of other things. And, you know, that's why you don't remember it. You're like, no, this is something magical. This is, you needed to have this reset, this wipe, in order to do that work without having this, like, oh, is this kind of like Castaneda? Or this is kind of like this, take all the influences away, just do it intuitively. And now you're looking at the Castaneda work going, oh my God, this is so similar. There's such resonance here, you know?
It's true. That's, I mean, the memory wipe was so total that when I wrote my novel, Snooze, A Story of Awakening, which is all about dreaming and a guy going into the dream world and meeting his etheric double and then conflating with his etheric double ultimately so that they become one being. I thought I was super original. And then I read The Art of Dreaming a few months ago, and I'm like, shit, you know, that's what this whole book is about. And, you know, and I thought I had read it, but apparently I didn't, you know?
Yeah. So tell it to the judge, Saul. Tell it to the judge.
It ends up reading like a Toltec primer.
Exactly. Someone said, you plagiarized. He's like, no, I didn't. My memory literally was wiped.
Fortunately you can do similar subject matter, you know, and not be considered a plagiarist, but it is interesting how many of the concepts, I mean, I got into this whole discussion with Metin, who does the what is it, the human design Burke. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a very fascinating guy. And we talked a lot about twins in literature, doppelgangers and that kind of thing.
Yes. So
clearly, yeah. This has been an object, a source of fascination, the idea that we have some kind of double. This has been a source of fascination for writers mm-hmm. for just since there were writers, really, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fascinating.
Wow, you met your oversoul, Saul.
Met my oversoul. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it does make you think about also, you know, you begin to think about soul groups. I think about Aaron's coming together, the three of us sitting here, Pamela hanging out, you know. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know, I've met more people in this Aaron community that I find fascinating and really, really kind and fun to be around, you know, at least in a virtual yeah. way, because that's my only experience. But I'm amazed at how many extraordinary people have just shown up in my life that I've had really meaningful yep. interactions with. I mean, Shiva was one of the first, and he and I just started corresponding on Telegram, and suddenly I'm like, gosh, this guy's amazing, absolutely.
And I felt like I've known you for years. It's really amazing. Yeah, I agree.
It's phenomenal. And then I just said I completely fell in love with Cheryl. I felt like, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, the big sister I never had or something. I don't know. It just something very mm-hmm. very profound.
Yeah, this is the right time. You know, this is the right time. We're supposed to be having all these connections. I mean, you know, we got to get our shit together. You know, this is the time, you know, and this is why it's all happening right now. It's
a resonance. So we're able to see each other a lot easier than we could, you know, 5-6 years ago. Because as the resonance gets stronger, well, it's easier vibe to pick up, right?
I like that.
So now we see each other and now we can connect. And then we can expand on these concepts so we can help out the whole thing.
You know, and we all have like our role, you know. I'll talk about my healing stuff. And then you, Cheryl, you seem like you're this quiet force that moves in very strange ways through this group of people connecting forces of nature in these communities. It's amazing how you've been able to do that, how the whole convention just sprouted up around you, the whole Martin Jason connection, your connection with Martin, and this whole British invasion 2.0 thing that's about to happen. I mean, it's really amazing that this is sort of your art. This is your work, or at least it's part of it, mm-hmm. it seems.
Well, it just fired me up. Like, you know, 6 months ago, I just felt this huge vibration of energy. I didn't know what it was, but I think that as I thought about what's going on and what's going on around me, because it has been highly strange, I think in lots of coincidences, it's been really strange. I think that it's almost kind of like a bridge thing. That's how it feels to me. Like I can sense these vibrations. Like I can sense the vibration of Jason and Martin, that there's something there that it needs to go together, right? And then Tom and Martin, that like that needed to go together right then. So I think it's just the vibrations, and I'm just some kind of bridge. I'm building bridges, Saul.
Oh, yeah.
You're so good at it. It's amazing. It's really impressive. My mother was a little like that. You know, she had that ability to just connect people that you wonder how she pulled that off, you know.
You can sense the vibration of people. Well, I can, right? And so you can just, and then when I feel that there's something going on there, then I feel a really intense vibration. It's like, oh, and I even can hear it in my head. Wow, there's a lot of energy in that. You know, I don't know.
You have a kind of kinesthetic effect.
Yeah, it's like my body's like a tuning fork, and I can sense the vibration of it. Yeah.
I remember, Cheryl, when you called, you were in Wales, right? The first time you went there. And you called me and you said, hey, I'm sitting here with Martin Liebke. And, you know, I mentioned your name. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. And I'm like, what? And I was like, what the hell? And then, like, I got this tingle as well when I was talking to you. And I thought, this is very good, you know, I could immediately see ahead of me already. I was like, the bridge of these communities and more so. Wow, bang. And I just, that's why I wasn't surprised by any of this when it was like, oh, now these two are going to be talking and then this is happening and this is happening. I'm like, yes, because from that call I was like, okay, something's happening here. And this is right before the Archaics meetup. You know, I was like, hang on, you're in Wales and then you're going to come back. And then you went back there. And I'm just like, whoa, misconnection here. She's like, yeah.
You know how that happened, Shiva? You know why I called you? I was sitting there.
Because you're an international woman of mystery.
I was sitting there talking to you, Shiva, and then Martin said, who is that? I said, oh, it's my friend Shiva Shampoo. And he goes, I just got an email from him yesterday.
Yeah.
And then when I was in Cardiff and Jason and Martin did the podcast, Jason didn't know I was there. So at the end of the podcast, I walked up and looked in the screen and Jason said, how are you everywhere, Cheryl? What are you doing? I said, no, I'm just where I need to be when I need to be there. That's all.
Yeah, no, bi-location really helps.
It sure does. Yeah, getting better at it as I go.
So you've got this channel, Front Row Seat, it's gaining some steam. You know, after this interview with Shiva that he and I did, like, you know, when was that, a month ago or something? People went bananas over that. It's had like almost 7,000 views or 6,500 views, something like that.
Yeah.
And the comments have just been absolutely through the roof. And a recurring one that I've gotten, even in some private emails, is along the lines of, what's Shiva's channel, or how can I contact him, or you know, why haven't you mentioned his channel? You know, I've gotten that a couple times. So,
yeah.
So my question to you is, have you thought about just starting a channel?
Yeah, well, for years people have been telling me to set up a channel and to write books and do these things. And, you know, I've just been kind of anonymous for so long, you know, for the last couple of decades, and just sort of doing my thing in person. But who knows? Maybe I will, you know, but maybe by the time I set up my channel, maybe YouTube will cease to be or something. I don't want to jinx YouTube. I think as soon as I get my channel, they say, okay, we're shutting it down. Now it's now Elon Musk's X-Tube or something weird.
X-Tube.
It should be Shiva Shampoo, where everybody comes clean.
Cleans the head from inside of you.
Yeah.
It could be Shampoo Tube.
Shampoo Tube.
Yeah, who knows? I might do it. I'm half considering it. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I would like to... Once I, you know, get some more music recorded properly, then I would feel, you know, like I have something to offer, because I can talk, whatever. But, you know, I do this singing, I do this, you know, music thing. And I think that's something that I can offer that I feel good about. You know, I said, OK, this is kind of like what I do, quote unquote, in this world. So, you know, then I can have more to offer. That's what I mean. You know, I can throw some music on and people like music, you know.
So how can people support you, or how could I support you in moving in that direction? I know that, you know, you talked about like wanting to record some songs or get to a studio that's worth a darn. What's involved in that? What do you need to make this happen? Because I think you're just a brilliant musician as well as being just a super gifted raconteur. So I would love to help out any way I can.
Well, thank you. Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll see how it goes. First, I'm going to leave. Right now, I'm in the Maldives, and I'm going to leave here at some point, probably next month. And when I get to the next place, then I'm going to start recording. That's for sure. No doubt. It's long overdue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so eager to see what you produce, you know. I think a lot of people would be interested perhaps in helping you out. So, you know, if you ever want to use any of my platforms to reach out to folks, you know, until you get your own set up, let me know, and we can work something out there too.
Thank you so much, Saul. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
My pleasure.
This has been wonderful, y'all. I think that it was really a lot of good stuff came out in this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's effortless to talk to you guys. It's really like just like
old. Thank you for coming out of the shadows, Shiva, to talk with us today.
No problem. Definitely. I mean, I also appreciate that. That first one was with Saul. I actually have a couple of other people have been asking to do interviews, and I was putting them off because I wanted to do the one with Saul first, because, you know, I felt that made sense to me, you know.
Oh, you're making me blush.
You're such a sweetheart, man. Really, I really love you very much, you know.
And I love both of y'all too. I feel like we're all just summer old friends here.
Summer love.
Oh, lots of love. You know, it's like it feels. Pamela just chatted in the chat.
Love. Oh my God.
That's great. She's on the wavelength.
Yeah, she is. We had a sync up right there. That's hilarious. Oh my God.
So, yeah, just to let people know, Pamela, she's there in the bottom corner, right?
Yeah.
But her audio isn't working and she can't even hear what we're saying. And yet, when we said, I love you, she puts love, 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 love.
Remote viewing anyone?
Yeah. That's like, how synced is that? She can't even hear what we're saying. And she's just like, love, 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 love. She felt the love vibe and she put that in there.
That's why she's in here. And she moderates on a lot of channels and it's all positive. She's rolling in those good vibrations in for everybody to feel better, since we're trying to come through this little shift thing we're doing here, and it's throwing everybody off kilter. But we have these things and these tools and gifts, and Pamela has a very big gift. She's the woohoo woman. And she makes everybody feel better.
Definitely. She's lovely.
She is lovely.
I every time I see her pop up when I'm in a chat, I get a warm and fuzzy feeling.
Yes, me too. I noticed her a long time ago. Her and Shiva and Saul. It's almost like the four of us. That y'all are all my favorites, you know. I like the other people too, but y'all really go off a lot.
Politically correct, Cheryl.
Oh, what I do. I love everybody, y'all.
Definitely. Yeah, but definitely in the chat, I definitely, you know, you guys really, we always have a fun rapport, you know.
Yes.
It's really
like the other night, I think it was, I forget, it was one of Jason's videos not too long ago, and you were not in the chat, Shiva. You had something going on.
Yes.
And so I'm in there cracking jokes and nobody's taking the bait. And Pamela says, you need your sidekick here.
I saw that. I slept that one. I mean, I have not missed a live since last year in March, right? And I missed that one. And I was like, oh, darn, you know, because I just fell asleep, because they always start at some crazy time for me. They start at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, right? So, but I still, you know, I bang the coffee. I'm always there for it. This one, I couldn't do it. My body just like was like down. And I didn't know about it either. So had I known about it, I could have timed it right. And I was looking at the live chat and I saw all those things and I was just like, oh, guys.
Oh, that's so cute. Saul was missing his Shiva. And I miss you too when you're not in the chat. I miss you too when you're not there, because I'm always looking for you. And then when you pop in, there's Shiva. There he is.
He's there so often. And it's amazing. Just the presence. I love that.
Yeah.
As in being present.
Okay, we all love each other now.
Yeah, so if people listening going, okay, guys, you get a room.
get a room.
Get a Zoom room.
We do have a Zoom room.
We're in the Zoom room called Summer of Love 2023.
Oh, y'all, that's too funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're here to talk about difficult concepts, and you know, we're moving through some things and we're trying to, as artists, errants, whatever the heck we are, we're trying to think around these things and bring new ideas for people to share, because that's what artists do. We look at the culture, what's going on around us, and then we try to bring something new to it that's helpful. And so love and happiness and laughing is helpful too. And so that's what I try to do on the front row seat, is to bring some of the laughter and fun into this thing, because we are working really hard here and we're really working hard to get over this little hump we're doing, but we're getting there, and everybody's, you know, doing a really good job, and everybody's doing the best they can, and I'm really proud of everybody.
All right.
Sounds great.
It does sound great. So y'all ready to wrap it up? I think we did enough.
Yeah, well, thank you for putting this together, and thanks to you, Shiva, and thanks to Pamela.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And we love, 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 love you too, Pamela. So we'll have to do it again sometime. I think it turned out wonderful. And Everybody have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody. Carol.
Until the next time.
Okay. Ciao, ciao. Love you all.
Love you guys. Love you too.